Before we get started, I just want to say that this one is about a mature subject. I mean, there's not going to be any language or anything, but it is about a mature subject. So if you have kids in the car, I would advise you to shut this off and listen to it at a later date. I just wanted to say that before we get started, and I will mark it explicit too, so when it comes on your phone, you should see it. But I just wanted to say that just to clarify before we start this podcast.
Well, today I kind of teased this a little bit at the top. Sensitive story, and I'm glad you're here for it because you can bring the female perspective and the mom perspective that I can't. But she shared really one of the most personal secrets, hoping to help people. That was her whole idea, you know, that she was going to go out and have other people be able to talk about it. And instead, she was ridiculed all over the world. It's an exclusive interview with the woman whose medical condition became an international headline. Take a break. Be right back, Senator. Well, it's a condition very few people know about, even fewer understand. It's called persistent genital arousal disorder. And for Kim, it has turned her life into a painful battle with her own body. Roll it.
In 2008, I was in an intimate situation with my then partner, and it was weird, really weird. My partner left. I continued to have sensations of orgasms. It's very bizarre. I remember thinking, something's wrong.
Looking for answers, Kim turned to the internet.
Try Googling that. You can't find it. WebMD, they don't recognize persistent genital arousal disorder. And that's when I said to myself, you know what? I can't live like this. I need to actually know what the symptoms and causes are.
So she reached out to the medical community and found out she was not alone.
I know people would say, well, yeah, you're experiencing this intensity of this particular arousal to the point of climax, but there is no end to the climax. There's no satisfaction. It's a futile situation because once you have a level of satisfaction, if you get any, it just continues. It's almost like having, you know, your most favorite food and it crammed down your throat, crammed, 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 crammed. After a while, you're like, okay, I'm done. I've had enough. There's no satiation point. Nothing.
Meaning you're still hungry. All right. So knowing she was not alone, Kim made the very courageous decision to come out and try to help and educate people about her condition. She never imagined what would happen next, really.
So the online group was approached by a member of the media. She was looking for somebody to talk about this. And it was like, it's going to be a very sensitive article. It's going to be done in the most cleanest and, you know, nicest manner. And yes, the lady will have to show her photograph. The article is going to be published in the United Kingdom. And I read the article. Gutted. Spent 3 weeks writing about what it was like, the devastation, how it decimates everything going on for you. And the son put in a three-liner, mocking me. Friends dropped me. Family members stopped speaking to me. People who I work with sniggered behind my back or sniggered in my face. Getting recognised in the street, that kind of stuff. Having reporters outside your front door. Having people write you home and tell you that you're possessed with evil spirits. I went from being a regular person to a notorious person. And I've done nothing wrong other than have something that is a medical condition. How am I going to get up? How am I actually going to go to work? How am I going to face patients? How am I going to do my job after the whole world's laughed at me?
Kim is with us today. Thank you for trusting us with your story. So we told a lot of the story right there. I mean, you come out with this great courage to come out and share it, and then you're hit with it. So what? How did that impact your life emotionally?
Brutal. Agonizing.
Because your point in there was, I spent all this time telling you all the details of the truth of how difficult it was, and it's one headline that you throw up and becomes a story, which makes me a bit of an oddity now, to be mocked.
You know, when I worked with a news agency, and they say, well, we want this story, and I spent hours, like maybe 4 hours, and we went back and forth, and put this in, put that out, take this in, put this in, and then it was just 3 lines, and just like, when it came out, I texted my best friend in England, and I said, is it out? And she's like, it's out, and there was nothing, no response, and then she said, it's tasteless, you know.
What does that do to your faith? Because it took a big step from you to come out in the first place.
I guess you turn around to yourself and you say, you know, I put my trust out with somebody and I was told that it was going to be handled sensitively. The media took it and just said, she does what? And she can do this? And it's just painful.
Well, so PGAD, I think I understand this from it. It just means that you can have periods of time where it's just happening and there's no controlling it. You're going to have an orgasm. But as you said, really wonderfully, it never stops.
If you look at the sexual arousal response, the cycle that is, it's excitement, plateau, orgasm, resolution. So excitement is when the body's preparing for intimacy. Plateau is when the person's on the verge of that particular, you know, climax. And then orgasm itself, and then resolution. Resolution means that you have a period of time where your body kind of goes back to normal. With people who have persistent genital arousal disorder, you're stuck in plateau and orgasm. And you know, being on the verge day in, day out.
And Lisa, there's a sensitivity, because even as you're talking, Kim, the opportunity for jokes are rampant.
And it's not just the fact that you have this disorder that is painful and you can't find resolution, but on top of it, you're having to deal with the humiliation and the embarrassment and the people's perceptions of you. That's got to be like a double whammy.
Difficult and challenging, painful, brutal, agonizing. You know, you get to the point where nobody talks to you. I mean, even
that surprised me that your friends dropped you. We're gonna take a break. Here we have Dr. Dorian with us right over here. We're going to talk about this condition and how rare it is. And I also want to find out what kind of friends have that leave when you go through something like this. We'll take a break. Be right back.
Never heard of this before Kim came out.
You know, Jeff, it's pretty rare, but the problem is recognition. It wasn't recognized by even the medical community till just recently. And if you scour the literature, you realize that its incidence may actually be not so rare. It can be up to a form of approximately 1% of the population, female population,
so
may
why,
have a version of it.
Why would that not be recognized? Is it, again, because it's about sex?
That's definitely a major issue. It's the embarrassment from the person. The only person has to recognize, the female has to recognize something is wrong with me, and not just some hormonal imbalance. Something that they feel comfortable to go talk to their physician. And then remember, the physician has to be comfortable and knowledgeable enough to recognize it and guide them through the process.
Well, there has been, you've talked, Kim, a lot about the toll it was taken on you. And just to show that it isn't as isolated as it might seem, there was recently another woman who suffered from this PGAD. It made headlines. She shared her story with the Tampa Bay Times. Roll it.
I had no idea that other people were going through this. And I wish I could have told my mom. I wish I could have told both my parents. And I want my mom and dad's friends to know I wasn't in my bedroom wasting my life.
This isn't living. I think about suicide all the time. It doesn't mean I want to do it. I don't want to do that. I want to enjoy life. I used to love life. And I had a great life. And I could have a wonderful life. But this has destroyed it. What's the point?
Well, and the postscript to this is the day after that interview that you just watched, after that aired, Gretchen took her own life. And I'm guessing that that doesn't completely surprise you.
Not at all, actually. Gretchen was in the same online group as myself. There's many women that have this, but they're so embarrassed to talk about it that some people are actually, you know, they're on an online group, but they're anonymous because they just don't want to be attached to it.
What is it? Because being a guy, I'm fascinated because the idea that it's troubling, I get, but that it's embarrassing to bring up, I'm still stuck on. Why?
I feel like as a woman, there's certain things that we can't talk about in society. I feel like, you know, if I was a man and I had presented to my physician and said, look, I'm having trouble with my sex life or with my intimacy.
Well, you see male sexual dysfunction on baseball games. Celebrities advertise it.
But unfortunately for women, we have different constraints, socially not acceptable, religious constraints that a woman really shouldn't be talking about things like this. And within our community, when you go to your doctor and you explain to him, I mean, I'm very fortunate, the doctor, my primary care physician, Dr. Fortunato, did a tremendous job with listening to me and actually took me on face value and said, look, Kim, whatever you need, let's start in this point.
But your point is you put yourself out there for ridicule.
It was hard. I mean, look, even my own shadow divorced me at this point. It was like just really challenging.
Friends leave. You said it's hard to have friendships. Who left?
Friends that were just, I think people feel that shame is infectious or contagious and they didn't want to be associated. You had this happen to you and you went live on television and you went into a newspaper and talked about, I don't want to be associated with you.
What about a relationship now? Really?
It's not what you think.
Can you have sex without this getting in the way?
It has to be taken into consideration when I'm intimate with somebody.
And can having sex spark this?
Pretty much.
All right, we're going to take another break. When we come back, what is a regular day like in Kim's life? You talk about 100 times a day. We'll be right back.
Vibrations can heighten arousal, so I wouldn't be using a vibrating toothbrush. I don't put my cell phone on vibrating.
Kim Ramsey made international headlines last summer. That means all over the world when she revealed that she suffers from persistent genital arousal disorder. Recently, Kim was nice enough to allow our cameras into her home to see what a typical day is like for her. Roll it.
I've been ridiculed as much as anybody could be ridiculed. There's no more jokes. I think I've heard every orgasm joke. There's none left. The worst possible thing is to wake up at 2-3 in the morning, feeling aroused, knowing that it's not going to get any better. The other thing, engorgement. Breast engorgement can be with me for about 2 weeks. The back pain is consistent. You feel like you need to use the bathroom more. I can't sit down for long periods of time. Vibrations can heighten arousal, so I wouldn't be using a vibrating toothbrush. I don't put my cell phone on vibrate. Like, I'm far more likely to listen to Busta Rhymes, Jay-Z, than people who are singing overtly about something that's sensual.
Today is my follow-up with Dr. Eckenberg.
Dr. Eckenberg specializes in Kim's condition. She drives over 80 miles to see him.
The reason why I drive a Cadillac is that the suspension is phenomenal and unnecessary movement makes my disorder more uncomfortable. And I found a Cadillac to be one of the smoothest vehicles.
Dr. Eckenberg and his partner have guided Kim through both her physical and emotional struggle.
And I absolutely think that you're one of the more courageous people I've met in a long time.
Thank you. That's a big thing for me. Thank you.
While Kim has balanced the psychological issues, she must now confront the possibility of surgery.
I personally think that you will come around a little bit to take care of some of the stuff medically that we can take care of.
I'm still not overly keen on a pudendal nerve block, I have to be honest. I just kind of like what effect does that have on my long-term sexual functioning? I can only say maybe in time. When someone says, I have a plethora of this, they're like, well, why wouldn't you be happy? No, I'm not happy.
Dr. Dorian, when Kim let us in, thank you for letting us into your life, and she talked about anything with a vibration, what's the connectivity?
Well, PGAD is stimulated sometimes, and the nerve is irritated, and vibration can trigger the nerve. We don't exactly know the cause, but we do know that nerve irritation is one of the potential causes and triggers. That's why the treatment for which revolve around that, whether it's using anesthetic gels to decrease its sensation or using something as simple as getting a car that decreases the vibration or movement, the less you get stimulated, the less chance that you will fall into this cycle, which does become a vicious cycle.
And you said you're reluctant about surgery. What would the surgery be?
It would be a nerve block. That would be a needle being, with anesthesia, being placed into the clitoris and blocking the pudendal nerve. The pudendal nerve is the nerve that feeds that activity.
And so the fear for you is that you would be giving up all sensation, or what is it?
Pretty much all sensation, and eventually it's going to come back, and it's a painful procedure. That's what I'm really not. I want to try everything that's non-medical first. I want to go for the meditation. I want to do the yoga. I want to do physiotherapy. I want to do those kind of things first before I try that. And plus, for me, that's not the only place that I have orgasms for.
Meaning what?
That
hold that as a tease.
Okay.
There's more to the story that I didn't even know.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break. I also want to ask Dorian if there are any other cures, because what I'm learning today is that you coming out, you're like the poster child for something that's happening to a lot of people. And as you saw, one woman has already taken her life. So we need to shed a little light. And Walter, you'll get in on this. We'll be right back. Talking with Kim today, who's sharing her story. So we've talked a little medically. Is there a cure? Is every case individual?
There's no generic cure for this. Every case is individual, but there are certain tactics, and it revolves around decreasing the sensation of the nerves. But more importantly, or at least as important, is the psychological treatment that's necessary, because with the stigma comes the depression, which can cause some more tragic events like we saw.
Are you feeling that are you taking care of yourself emotionally?
Yeah, I wanted to say that Gretchen was not actually the first lady to commit suicide. There was another lady called Nicole Bass, and she's based in the Netherlands. So this is like a double blow to actually have another woman lose her life because she couldn't get the appropriate medical treatment, or she was ridiculed, or she felt uncomfortable. Emotionally, that is the depression accompanies this disorder. It's like they're married together.
So one of the things that Dr. Dorian is saying is that if you are at home and you're suffering with this, you need to know emotionally you should be taking care of yourself. The depression you're feeling is normal. One of the reasons I like having you around lately is because you bring the female perspective. So what is it like to listen to this story?
I'm just thinking, you know, this is not an exaggeration to say that you, in this moment, you're saving lives because you are taking a risk. You're coming out here. It has cost you an awful lot. And thank you on behalf of women for making this, you know, vulnerable stand.
And, you know, it's interesting that how things work, because maybe that headline that has so wrecked your life is the headline that is needed to get attention to it. Because if the story read as this long, laborious accounting, maybe no one would read or care or, you know, be doing a show about it. So thanks for everything you're putting out there. We don't get exclusive stories very often in the Jeff Probst Show. So I'm very happy that do you feel like we treated you okay?
You know, I was so fearful. I've been up since 2 o'clock this morning. And I was like, oh my God, here we go again. But I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Awesome.
Thank you.
So I thought that he handled this very rare disorder with class. He didn't make any assumptions. He didn't you know, asked any inappropriate questions. He treated her like a human being, which is obviously more than some people did. Like the person that wrote that article or whatever it was. And I'm just going off the top of my head here because I've seen this segment several times. But I thought it was nice that he chose to raise awareness for that, because if somebody watching the Jeff Probst show, that if somebody was watching and they didn't know they had it and then they found out they had it, that could be, or they weren't alone in having it, that could be really life-changing for them. And he gave people like a look at the human behind the chronic illnesses, and so often we just see a label. So it was nice to see like that there actually is a human, and that you should be supporting yourself emotionally, and that they highlighted the emotional support and stuff too. And it's sad that people are taking their own lives because of the stigma that's, you know, going around about this, you know, disease. And so I think it was great that he kind of shed a light on some of the stigma and said that wasn't true. And maybe this will help, like, fund more research and stuff too. And so, and I've tried to track down the woman, Kim Wainsey, to see how she's doing today, but I haven't been successful. I've friend requested some of these people, but none of them have gotten back to me. But yeah, I hope she's doing well, and I hope she like had a positive response from the show, because I know it affected me positively, because I'd never heard of this disorder, and me being a disability advocate myself, if I ever come across somebody that has it, I'll know what it is. So I hope it was a positive thing for her. And yeah, I really love that segment, because it's what you should do in advocacy. You shouldn't make assumptions. You should put the human first. And you should highlight not only the disease, but the effects it has on you emotionally and psychologically and stuff. And yeah, I was glad that she got to go on there and have a voice, especially after what happened to her. So that's why I chose this segment, pretty much.
The podcast you just heard was recorded with Anchor. If you want to make your own, download the Android or iOS app completely free from anchor.fm/podcast. That's anchor.fm/podcast.